good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Whenever you are, welcome to Two Men with a Mic.
Good morning.
Happy days, my friend.
Are they happy days, Mitch? Are they really? Hey, did it rain up there?
Yeah.
I did not see rain in the forecast, but this morning I looked outside and it rained everywhere. So,
yep. It rained yesterday.
My goodness.
You got it last night?
Yeah. My ex-wife has been cleaning out the garage, and so there's a bunch of stuff that's just needs to go to the dump, but there's a lot of it, but it all got rained on last night.
Oh, there's a like service you can call. They'll come haul it all away.
Really?
Yeah. It's not free though.
Or
you can, if you don't fill your cans, you can throw a little bit in your cans every day or every, you know, whatever trash day.
Yeah, we might do. There's like a dumpster service.
Yeah, same thing. But they,
okay, yeah, and you have to pay for that.
Yeah, nothing's free. The only thing, I mean, only other thing you could do if you want to be real sly about it is on trash day, you could take some stuff and go into all your neighbor's trash cans and add your stuff to theirs.
They did that. Yeah, I've had that done with me many times. Yeah, I was wondering. I went out to my trash can and it was totally full. And then I saw my neighbor was cleaning out his garage.
Oh, the things people will do.
I know.
Or if you got access to a truck, you can just load your truck up and drive to the dump.
Yeah, my brother has a truck. I asked him about it, so we'll see if he'll do it. He's on vacation right now, though.
Oh, where'd they go?
Actually, it was just him, and he went to go see his son, my nephew, in New York, I guess. Yeah, I think he goes to Yale. So where's Yale?
I don't know. I can't even spell it.
Now I'm looking at this big squirrel.
I know it's somewhere near Harvard. Because don't they play each other?
You know, and I feel bad, but it's either Yale or Harvard that he's at. I'm pretty sure it's Yale. So that's where they are.
Oh.
He sent me a picture last night of him and my nephew, his son, standing in front of the Hall of Justice.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you know where that is?
No, I thought it was in Metropolis.
That used to be on the old Super Friends.
Yeah.
Cartoon.
That was the best one. I love that one.
There was some theme park or I don't know what, but they did build a Hall of Justice just like the cartoon.
Really?
Yeah. And they're like standing in front of it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that was my favorite cartoon. That one had them all in it.
Yeah.
And they weren't fighting with each other. They got along.
No, yeah, it was a Super Friends ran forever, but it was absolutely a watered down version of like those superheroes in the comic books. It was Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and then like a bunch of other guys, depending on what season it was, but it was tame. It was like they definitely made it way more mellow than like anything that you'd see in the comics.
Yeah.
So actually, I always hated it because I was like, where's the violence? Where's the violence? But at the same time, I also liked it. Yeah, and you know, I was always obsessed with Superman, and so it was an opportunity to see Superman, even if it wasn't perfect. But yeah, it was mellowized.
Yeah. Well, that's so Walt's at the Hall of Justice. That's cool.
Walt's at the Hall of Justice with his son Mackenzie.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in a house surrounded by junk that has been rained on.
Too bad nobody will come steal it, right? If you put for sale $10, usually people will come steal it from you.
I haven't put a sign, but they've taken a lot of stuff.
Good. See how that worked?
Yeah, they did last time too. We've been taking like loads and loads and loads and loads out of that garage. That garage was insane. It was so crazy, filled with stuff just from Florida. There's even a loft in it, and that was filled too. So it was crazy in there. Anyway, it's looking a lot better now. So hopefully someone will steal some of the soggy junk and I won't have to deal with it.
Yeah, well, one can only hope.
Hey there, Amber here. Are you in dire need of trying to reach Mitch and Mike? Or maybe just want to be a part of the show? Well, it's easy. You could log on to twomenwithamike.com. That's the number two. And go to the About section, where you'll find all the ways to contact Mitch and Mike. You can email them at the number 2menwithamike@gmail.com. At the bottom of any episode on Spotify, you can hit the Leave a Message link or write a comment. Oh my.
What's going on with you, sir?
Oh, not a lot. I'm hoping to have an easy Sunday. Jen and Ash are off to a wedding event thing. I have no idea, and I'm not going. So that's all I care about.
How come you're not going, dude?
Because it's a bunch of bridezillas locked in a room. I mean, that's like swimming with piranha.
Yeah. Did you guys go house hunting yesterday?
Yep. We went house hunting again. Amber lined up some houses. They were, well, we only went to two. The other ones that we thought we were going to go were gone. But we went to one that was definitely a no-go. And then we went to a second one that is a possibility. So it's on the higher end though, so I'm a little worried about that, but it is technically doable. So
is it a house or an apartment?
Yeah, it's a house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a two-bedroom house?
No, it's actually like a three-bedroom with an office.
Wow.
So, but it's a little, well, it's close for Jen. She could actually keep her job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch because I'd need to keep a vehicle and stuff. The original plan was to get something close to a BART station. BART stands for Bay Area Rapid Transit. It's the subway system basically out here.
Yeah.
So there's a train like a Disneyland. What's the Disneyland thing that goes around? Monorail?
Yeah, the monorail.
Yeah, so it's just like riding on the monorail. Except for it goes everywhere. It goes under the bay, so you're actually underwater when you go to San Francisco on it and stuff. Yeah. And all this stuff. But so I was trying to find something like walking distance to one of the BART stations.
Yeah.
Because then I don't need a vehicle, which means I don't need gas for one, but two, I don't need car insurance, right? So we can save some monthly income and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's been kind of the thought pattern. and stuff. So we're still looking. You know, Amber's being our real estate agent, so she researches and tries to find them and then sets up the appointments, and then we go take a look at them. So there's one that's a possibility. Jen and I will have to talk some more and stuff, but we got home pretty late last night, and well, I guess we didn't get home very late, but felt late. And we'll get it figured out. The search is still going.
Yeah. Well, the house sounds promising, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not super excited about keeping all that work. Part of the way I'm looking at all of this is I'm retired with a hobby.
For your new job, you're actually, like, don't tell anybody, but you're actually retired.
Yeah, and it's just a hobby. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, in the scheme of, like, pressure and responsibility and, you know, stress in my life, it's literally the equivalent of being retired and having a hobby.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the hardest thing I have to do right now is get up in the morning.
Wait, I know about that, man.
That's nothing. You can do it.
I can't wake up anymore. I'm freaking old. My sister was over here yesterday because she's taking stuff out of the garage too. She's been storing a lot of stuff in there, but like she was in the living room and then all of a sudden she was sort of got dizzy and just sat down, and she's like, oh, let me just sit. And I was, and she's like, this happens all the time. And I'm but me too. and so I'm beginning to wonder now if this is just age, like it's age and it's kicking our asses or something. Cause yeah, I'm like waddling around like an old man trying to not move my body in certain ways because it'll hurt. And then suddenly having to sit down cause I'm out of breath and like, yeah. And then my sister came over and it was the same thing. And I was like, oh my God, I think it's age.
Yeah. The only thing that ever I worry about is getting down on my hands and knees because it hurts my knees so much.
Yeah.
That's the only, other than that, I'm pretty good. But really? I try and stretch every morning a little bit.
You do? I thought you told me you never exercise.
Well, stretching is not exercising.
Yeah. What?
Stretching is just stretching. You know, like, you know, putting your arms over your head and reaching for the sky and, you know, just doing a couple of twists and, you know, the stretching.
Yeah.
Don't you remember stretching? Think back. Go back, Michael. Go back.
It was a long time ago. Actually, it wasn't that long ago. I've just, honestly, with everything in my own life and everything going on in the world, I don't know. I just think I let it go. But for a while, I was doing a 15-minute energization, self-realization fellowship, energization exercises, which are, it's a yogic routine, but it's mostly stretching.
And yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so I was doing that for a little bit, and then I instantly was losing weight too, and I was like, wow, because it isn't really a strenuous routine. It is a little, but I was surprised. Like instantly, I started to feel better, so I just stopped that immediately. Feeling better, losing weight. Oh, forget that.
Yeah. why keep up something that's good for me?
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible idea.
I gotta get back to that or something. I really don't think it's age per se. I think it's just a complete lack of exercise.
Yeah, that's definitely, well, what I try and do at the new job, which is beneficial, is like I gotta go places, like not a lot, but I try and walk everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, I gotta go upstairs to get to the copy room, so I do that like once a week, and every day I gotta walk to the cafeteria, which, you know, it's not like it's miles away.
Yeah.
But it's still, I know it's good to, you know, walk.
Yeah.
So, and then I've been walking the dog twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. So again, not long walks, because both me and the dog are old, but still I figure walking is good. So that's really what I've been trying to do, is just make sure I take a walk, you know.
That's good. Dude, every time we have this conversation, that you've always like kind of said, like, you don't care and you don't exercise, and like, yeah.
Well, I don't. That, when I say exercise, I mean, that's people that like exercise.
Yeah.
I take the dog for a shit.
Hey, dog, pardon your French, dude. We don't want to scare away our new friends in Japan.
Yeah, heaven forbid. I apologize for using that four-letter word.
Guys, sorry for the interruption, but guess what today is? Tuesday Rants with, you guessed it, Amber. Welcome back to the studio, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another week. I hope you guys are all doing fabulous and staying healthy and happy. I also hope that you guys had an awesome May the 4th be with you, and an awesome Cinco de Mayo, and maybe you were able to actually cook up some tacos this last weekend to celebrate, or like some Darth Vader pancakes, maybe, perhaps. I sadly did not get to do either of those, but it's okay. I love any holiday, whether how big or how small. I love to just acknowledge it, at least, you know, even if you don't really get to celebrate it. Like, I just love holidays, and I'm always down for like decorations and such. But this last weekend, I was actually dog sitting for my aunt and uncle, Uncle Chuck and Aunt Lauren in Livermore. And you guys, Uncle Chuck has actually been on the podcast, so you guys have probably heard from him before. But yes, yeah, so I got to dog sit, and my grandma, my dad's mom, also lives there, so I got to hang out with her, which was really nice, and just spend some time talking and chatting. The family also came up on Saturday while I was there, and during the day we went and looked at a few houses and apartments in the Livermore area. We are still on the hunt for a city to live in, so stay tuned for that. Hopefully soon we will find a place. There were a few places we liked over the weekend, but I don't know, we're just not finding like that one place, you know, and you know it, because it's the same way you feel when you find the girl or the guy. Like, you gotta feel that way about your new place that you're gonna live, right? And I don't think it's sparked joy yet for us, but we're getting there. We're gonna find something soon. So yeah, that was a pretty eventful weekend, but I hope you guys all have a great rest of your week. I also, on Monday, was celebrating my 13th diversary, which was the anniversary of when I was actually diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which was 13 years ago when I was 7 years old, which is just mind-blowing to me. I cannot believe it's been 13 years, and it's been more than half my life that I've lived with it. And for those of you who don't know, type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease, and there is currently no cure for it yet, sadly. But there will be someday. I am hopeful of it. But yeah, it's just crazy because I've talked with other type 1s and some who haven't been diagnosed for very long, and they actually remember a time, you know, where they didn't have to count carbs or give injections to eat or have low blood sugar, high blood sugar, have to deal with all that, sleepless nights, whatever. But I honestly, like, thinking back, I remember, like, activities I used to do, you know, prior to when I was diagnosed, like, certain milestone events, but I don't remember, like, really a time where I wasn't not counting carbs or giving insulin or, like, going to the doctors all the time. So that kind of sucks, but you know, it's who I am, and I'm proud to be who I am, and I wouldn't be who I am today without type 1. So I'm very grateful, and I'm very grateful for all the technology, so I'm so glad to be celebrating that. And because it is my 13th year, it is Taylor Swift's lucky number year, so it is my Taylor Swift year, if I say. So yeah, that's pretty cool. But I hope all of you guys have a great rest of your week, and I will see you guys next week. Bye!
Do you know that the whole, like, they're all protesting in Japan, though? Like, all this stuff that's going on in the world, and our media is hiding that they're doing that. But in fact, like, the last week or so, all the citizens of Japan have been protesting the bioweapon COVID, the death shot vaccines that the government tried to make everybody take. They're also, they've opened their borders and they're letting everyone in, and yeah, it's all exactly the same stuff that they've done in America and in Europe. But the Japanese are protesting. Remember, we added Japan as a country, and then I was really happy because actually I've not been there you know, since the early 2000s. I think 2004 was the last time I went there. But I love that country, and I love the culture, and it was an amazing place that I went to, like a totally clean, safe, polite, respectful, spiritual country. But yeah, I mentioned on the show when you said, oh yeah, we added them as a country, and I was like, oh yeah, I love that place. And then I mentioned, like, I think they're doing the same deep state plot there that they're doing here. And they are. But Japan is protesting it. So there you go. You should have seen that on your news. Like, if you looked at the Yahoo News headlines, or you turned on ABC or something, should have been a news story. But they're the bad guys are on the media, and they're hiding it. So anyway, power to the Japanese people.
There you go.
Yep.
Something I'm just not going to concern myself with.
Why?
Exactly.
What do you mean?
I just, you and I choose to live our lives differently. I cannot control what happens in Japan.
Well,
I can barely control what happens in my own life. Well, actually, I don't control anything in my own life, but I mean, I don't know. I just, it's enough effort for me to get up every morning and go do what I'm going to do that morning and get to work on time and then come home and hang out with whatever little time I have with my wife. And, you know, I just, that's my concern. not what happens in Japan. I can't influence somebody on the street corner in Japan.
But it's not just Japan. It's all around the world. A secret society running all the corrupt governments. And the problem is that the ultimate plan is to kill 90% of the human race by 2030. And they're well on their way. And the next thing I guess is, well, anyway, it's happening in our own country, which is a democracy where we as informed citizens and voters are supposed to, step up if the democracy is threatened. Of course, you and I have had this conversation a lot too, and we're both very spiritual guys. So for me, like, the only thing that I can really do as a householder monk is just
householder monk.
That, yeah,
is that what they call it?
Yeah, in the
I thought you made that up.
The idea of self-realization fellowship was that you could meditate and do yoga with self-realization fellowship techniques, but also keep your job and your wife and your children and your house and your car, and they call it being a householder monk.
Oh,
So that's my goal. I fall short all the time, but I'm trying to be on the spiritual path and be a householder monk. But so with that said, and you from your Christian perspective, like, the only thing that we can do about any of it anyway is pray for justice, give it to God.
Exactly. So the whole point of giving it to God is that you don't dwell on it.
Yeah, you're right. And but there too, the Lord helps those who help themselves.
No, that's actually not in the Bible.
Oh yeah, this came up last week.
Yeah.
No,
those words in that format are not in the Bible. But it's fine. I understand what you're saying, right? I mean, you basically need to pray, and you need to, focus on the thing is everybody. It's the reason I have a problem with that, Mike, is that everybody out there is so screwed up personally, including me, right? I'm by no means am I a perfect man. My wife's got a list, right? But, everybody, instead of it's almost an excuse for people to be their worst, is the easiest way I can describe it. It's an excuse for everybody to ignore themselves and put focus somewhere else. And instead of, it's like they're pointing over, like, look over there. Look at that. That building's burning. And then while they're having everybody turn their heads, they're reaching around and stealing money out of, stealing everybody's wallet while they're looking, while they're all looking away. And instead, if everybody would just focus on themselves, like you said, work on being a householder monk or whatever, if they just, if everybody worked on improving themselves, a little bit, take a task on this week of making sure that you say good morning to everybody you come across, right? One simple thing, good morning, right? Mm-hmm. Things like that. If everybody just focused on that kind of stuff, and then worked on themselves to make themselves better people, instead of pointing the finger and trying to distract everybody while they turn around and do nasty things when no one's looking. That's how we fix all this. You're not going to fix it any other way. Everybody just has to take it on themselves to be a better version of themselves. Yeah. And once everybody starts doing that, then things can change. But until people acknowledge their faults, and that's part of Christianity, is to say you're not perfect, and that you do have flaws, and then you know, like you've been saying, right? You turn that over to God, and you ask Him for help and guidance, and then you do what you know, which is inherently in all of us. We all know right from wrong. We do. We just choose to ignore it or try and distract people while we think we get away with it.
So. Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, the spiritual advice is, okay, we're all one being. And so we're like cells in the body of God. And if you're upset or behaving wickedly, it's like a diseased cell in the body, and it not only affects you, but it affects all the other cells and the body.
Yeah. So
calming yourself down, being even minded and compassionate and serving others and all that, then that action of just calming yourself down actually is better for everyone else and the whole universe than just about anything you can do, which is the concept. I wish that was more well known to people. There's some really horrible things going on in the world, and there are people that get pointed at as being like useless to society. And but the thing is, if those people that you're pointing at individually were calming down, even if they never worked a job or served in the military or whatever else is expected of them, if they themselves have calmed themselves down, they're doing a great service to the universe, you know, because we're all connected. And so if someone next to you is upset, you're going to feel that on some level. And so, yeah, I agree. But too, although I'm not really doing this, and actually it looks like it's so corrupt at this point, it wouldn't matter if you did. But we are in a democracy where people vote and protest and do things like that. So there are those that might say, well, yeah, in addition to being even-minded, you should also go to that protest, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just have a different perspective.
Well, to be honest, it's driving me crazy, knowing all these things and watching it happen and no one doing anything about it. But I realized too that it's too much, kind of, in a way. So like I watch Alex Jones, and but like this last week, I just sort of spot checked him. Like, okay, are there any major developments? So I just like look and see at the, you know, news items that were listed, and if there was anything new or a new spin on it or whatever, then I watched it. But otherwise, I didn't just sit there soaking it all up again in an effort to calm myself down, frankly. And like we've also said when we've talked about this, if I were listening to the advice of Paramahansa Yogananda and the monks at Self Realization Fellowship, they would say you shouldn't even be watching the news at all.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So then let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let's have a psychology session with Michael.
Uh-oh. Another one.
So I'm just curious. So you just said it. This is with your own words. You said if I'm following the suggestions of Karmahana Yogananda.
Karmahansa Yogananda.
Yeah, that dude. It just sounded like a bunch of motorcycle names.
Karmahansa.
Carmen Ghia, Honda.
Hyundai.
Yeah.
Toyota.
Yep.
Swami Sri Toyota.
So if I'm following the suggestion of that guy, I wouldn't even be watching the news. So why not follow his suggestion? Just out of curiosity, I'm just asking.
I think we're creating reality with our thoughts. We vote with our consciences. And so I do think staying abreast of the situation without necessarily taking a bath in it is helpful, because I don't know, then my prayers and intention, you know, are more specific. Also, I feel like tuning in is almost a responsibility, because it is so bad what they're exposing in this country and around the world. And governments do get turned back, like corrupt, tyrannical governments do get turned back when the public is aware of what they're doing. So I feel like I should at least stay on top of it, but maybe not just sit there and take a bath in it every day. You know what I mean? So like now I'll go check. And if there's something new or some new development, I'll watch just like that story. But as opposed to like 3 hours a day watching it every day, you know?
Right.
So it's a little bit of a change.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I think that's good, because I think that those guys profit on fear. I think that, and you and I have had this conversation before, I think that televangelists, you know, any of those guys, if you go to the root and you watch what those people are doing and saying, they're just profiting on people's fear. They profit by stirring up the mix, you know, and then they turn around and they, you know, for $59.95 you can get the world's coming to a shit end package, you know, and this package includes, you know, one Karmann Ghia, 1 gallon of gas, 1 gas mask, and 2 spare tires, you know, all this stuff that you're not gonna need, and a t-shirt. You know, so I don't know, that's the way I look at those guys, because
I, you know, like, you're right, but I do think, like, in Alex Jones's case, there's also, he's also sharing a great truth though, and yeah. It's not just him, it's Alex Jones, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Lou Dobbs got fired over trying to tell the truth to everybody. Who else is out there?
Yeah, but those guys, my only problem with it is they profit from it, right? They didn't take a pay cut and go do that to better the world.
Tucker Carlson did. He was on. So if you look at the January 6th riots and you actually look at the footage, you realize that it actually was done by the feds. Like they tried to create that event so they could blame it on patriots and put them all in jail. And so the footage is available now. First, the government hid the footage. There's like, I forgot, thousands of hours of footage, like security cam footage and stuff. So first the government hid the footage, because if you saw the footage, then you realize that it was a setup. There was like an endless battle in Congress and stuff. And they finally released all of the footage. And the footage shows like the police are like, come on in, protesters, go ahead and break some stuff. And the FBI are like, come on in, protesters, it'll be fun. And it's just not what it's been characterized at. And all you have to do is look at the footage to realize that. So first they hid the footage, then they released it, but they released it in a complicated way where you can now see the footage, but it's not really organized. But it is out there and you can look at it, and they've shown clips on the news and stuff. And Tucker Carlson was showing clips from the footage of like the police and the FBI, like instigating the event. And so they fired him. But he just let it happen in an effort to tell the truth. And then rather than just disappear because he considers the country to be in such a serious crisis, on his own dime, he just he's really very rich, and he built himself a set and a studio, and he brought his crew over, and now when you see Tucker Carlson, that's just him paying for it himself, giving you that message. Everyone loves him. He's like the number one news personality. And so his audience followed him. So probably at this point, he is making a profit, but he was willing to get fired to try and show the American public the truth. And then he was willing to pay on his own dime, you know, to come back and keep trying to tell the truth. So there. And I also just to, but actually I did go light on Alex Jones this last week, because it's hard, dude, to hear all this stuff and then see that nothing's being done. And then in my immediate circle to have people just totally unwilling to look at evidence. And if they, yeah, they just can't accept it. So, I went light on Alex Jones to try and cheer up. And then, but you've heard of this movie Civil War that's out right now, right?
I think I saw a thing on it.
So Hollywood is used for a thing called predictive programming, where they make a movie about something and then we see it, and then later on they do it. And because we've seen it and our subconscious accepted it as being real, we're much more willing to accept what happens if we've seen a movie about it like beforehand. So in WikiLeaks, Hillary Clinton, from one of her emails, she was like, oh, well, what are we going to do now to control the public? And in WikiLeaks, like, the response was, oh, well, we're going to start a civil war. And that is what they're doing right now. And people are very, very agitated. See, here's the point, though, where if we injected the spiritual solution, like, okay, people, instead of being agitated and instead of abusing one another, why don't you become good now, like a monk or like a yogi or like Jesus Christ, who is a monk?
Just focus on yourself. Turn yourself inward and work on yourself, because we're all screwed up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and unfortunately, I don't think it happens enough. And this is how the governments have controlled people forever, is divide and conquer them, like get them to fight with each other. And yeah, if we could ever, like, the stuff that they've done in this country and in countries around the world is horrible. But if the people's reaction to it was, well, I'm going to be nice to my neighbor, and if I do have a focus for, like, who's responsible for my troubles, it's the government, you know, it's the government and, like, secret societies.
Well, but see, I disagree with that. I understand what you're saying, like, in a mass thing, the way you're saying it. Well, but
yeah,
of our troubles are self-inflicted. And like I said, you know, if you never take responsibility for the things going on in your life, you're never going to change, right? I mean, you know, way back, whatever, 20, 30 years ago, when I got, when I had my issues, you know, with the drinking and getting arrested and all that kind of stuff, that wasn't anybody's fault but mine. And until I owned that, and until I took responsibility for the problems that I caused myself, and I worked on that, my life wasn't going to get better. It was only going to get worse. And people are always looking for someone else to blame for their situation. And the only person that can fix your situation. The only person that can, you know, move forward in a positive way is each individual on their own. I mean, you have to change, and you have to look inward, you know, and you have to say, what can I do? What can I change? What can I eliminate from my life that is causing me to be or to act this way? Is it, I mean, I had to move away, right? I had to get away from that area because I had too many friends and, you know, too easy to slip into or slip back into that old lifestyle. And so, you know, I knew I had to get away. I was not going to ever stay sober and be a good person had I had stayed around there.
Yeah.
You know, well, but okay. I didn't blame anybody for that. I had to make that choice on my own, you know, and I'm just saying, that's just the way I believe it works. And, you know, I going back to your original statement of, you know, God helps those who help themselves, which isn't in the actual Bible that way. But the idea, the concept that, you know, you have to be the one, you know, that each of us has to be the person that goes out and changes, you know. You have to do it inside. God is never going to force anybody to do anything. You know, it's called free will. And, you know, even when you hear the stories in the Bible, right? When God is going around and gathering the disciples, you know, he just tells them, come with me. And he leaves it at that, you know, toss down your stuff and follow me. That's all he said. He doesn't threaten them. He doesn't, you know, do any of that. And it's a choice. It's a free will.
Yeah.
And I just think that we all need to realize that. And I see it a lot. I see it even more now where I am working, that it's always somebody else's fault. You know, oh, you know, I'm late because I had to go talk to this person and you know, whatever, right? And it's like that's a choice. Everything is a choice, and you have to prioritize. And if you put things in a different priority, and it doesn't work out, that's your choice. That's not anybody else's fault. Anyway, that's just, I'm sorry, I'm just rambling, but well, that's just
I agree with you, but I do think there's an outside component. Like ideally, like the idea of this country is like, yeah, you calm yourself down and stuff, but you stay informed. And then if there's issues in the country, you vote those people out of office. But I think it would be a very healthy shift for humanity right now because they're struggling. If they could at least see that, because right now people are not calming themselves down, and then they're very upset, and they take it out on one another. They take it out.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're gonna allow yourself to be upset and you need to like get it out, like the focus should not be the person next to you.
Correct.
The focus should be like the government that created that law that's causing you trouble. And then your response should be, you know, an informed vote against that, you know, or like attending a protest or whatever. So,
yeah, but the bottom line is, when has a protest ever changed anything?
I know.
It doesn't.
They don't seem to do anything, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. You said it. When you said, if you want to change something, there's two things you can do. You can either vote or you can run for office yourself and, you know, make the changes, right? But again, like I said, those are things you have to do and you have to take responsibility for.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think, where people lose focus. They want somebody else to do it for them.
Yeah.
And it's it doesn't work like that. Change has to come from the inside. So, you know, if you don't like the rules in California, move to where you do like the rules. If you don't like the person running for office, vote for somebody else. If you don't, you know, if you don't like a certain law, right, then go talk to your congressperson, right? And, you know, make that a focus, right? Get that changed. Go around and collect the signatures. You know, there are so many things that people could put their time and effort in to make change, but instead they just want to stand around and complain about it and then blame other people when everybody in this country has the right to make a change. Yeah. It's a lot of work and it's not easy, and that's where you lose people.
Yeah.
You know, but it's got to start. It's, at least in my humble opinion, all this starts if everybody would just take a moment and look inside themselves and say, what can I do to help? Right.
Yeah.
What can I do? And that's honestly kind of what I did a month ago or 2 months ago or whenever it was. Right. I kind of looked inside myself and said, what am I doing to help? Right. And how can I help? Because, you know, this job, what I'm doing, I'm not helping anything. I'm not helping anyone. And that's kind of what spurred me to move in this direction, where it's like, now I can say that I'm able to help young people. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to help them all. And I don't know if they're all going to listen, but if I can help one person, then I feel like I will accomplish something. And
yeah, I agree with you.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like we'd all be better off if we just focused on helping each other. Help the old lady across the street. Help someone come help Mike and get all that crap out of his driveway.
That got rained on, right?
He's got a shitload of stuff that needs to go to the dump, right? I mean, if I lived closer, I'd be over there hauling it to the dump, but I don't. So, you know, but if people just did that, right? If people were like, hey, neighbor, you need some help taking that to the dump?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let me get my truck. Come on, let's go. You know, that kind of stuff. People would see each other differently.
I know. That's kind of my point, is like the big trick is for the governments to get the citizens to fight with each other.
Right.
And so nobody's protesting the corrupt government. Everybody's just fighting with each other. And if we could just stop that and not fight with each other, and if there is any fight with us, focus on what's really creating the problem, which would be the government and the secret societies that run the government. Yeah, if we could just stop being divided and conquered, stop attacking one another, then it's all over for tyranny, you know?
Yep.
But
come together.
Come together right now.
The answers lie in the Beatles songs.
They do. I mean, and I know the Beatles are like corrupt and they were all in on it and stuff, but they expressed a lot of ideas that are helpful, you know?
Yeah.
About what's going on, especially John Lennon, you know, in the last 10 years of his life.
Right.
But that's why I don't understand why there's a Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is bigger than the Beatles, they say. And it's,
yeah.
But yeah,
they even have a like a terminology, like the Taylor Swift effect and stuff like that. She can make something a success and she can make it a failure. I mean, she has some good songs. I like her songs, but I mean, you know, Amber's a Swiftie. She loves her music.
Oh, really?
Yep. So be careful, because Amber might drive down there and have a conversation with you if you get
just
too brutal.
Taylor Swift is awesome. But, well, so I watched that movie, Civil War, which is like predictive programming. And it's, if Alex Jones is right, then before January, we're going to have a major crisis in America. And it might be.
Well, what's the definition? That's pretty broad brush.
The possibilities are civil war, and what would lead up to the civil war would be a bunch of false flags where the government themselves goes and like attacks the Jews or attacks black people. And then that will spark the civil war. The other possibility is a cyber attack, where they would, put us back in the dark ages, get us off the internet, get us offline. And again, it would.
Well, they can't do that because then we'd have a problem with the podcast. And
well, so, see, oh, there you go. Now you're ready to be an informed voter.
No, I'm saying society would crumble if they took the podcast off the air.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, so we know that, you know, everybody would be jumping out of buildings if they couldn't get our podcast anymore.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, no more podcast. Two men with a mic. I'm out of here.
I'm out of here.
The Earth would probably stop spinning if technology was taken away and they lost our podcast.
Yeah, the universe would begin to contract instead of expanding.
Yeah. It'd be the end. Where's Bill and Ted in their phone booth? They have to come save us so we can go back or go into the future and fix stuff.
Oh yeah, we got to get that phone booth, then everything will be fine.
Yep.
And we're also going to have to practice our instruments.
Oh yeah, because we don't know anything.
Yeah, we're going to have to practice.
Yeah. Maybe we should learn to play the guitar.
Oh, we're going to have to learn how to play these. But yeah, okay, so Alex Jones' predictions are cyber attack, civil war, or we get nuked before January. And so
All bleak. That's all bleak. That's all like depressing.
I know. That's why I kind of like tapered back a bit with him. Like I'll just check the Alex Jones headlines, you know, and like if there's something new, then I'll watch it. But otherwise, it's pretty hard to hear that every day.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It is. And yeah, but so I watched Civil War and I'm like, oh, so you couldn't handle the news anymore, so you watch this? Because that's exactly what it's about. And it's designed to encourage civil war. I don't know, dude. It's all grim. It's all really grim, especially because I have a little boy and I'm trying to raise him and have him have a good life and be at peace and all that stuff. You have all your children too.
Yeah, they're all grown adults making their own decisions. So
that's true.
I've already messed them up, so good luck to them. I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea to focus your life on all this grim, negative stuff, right? If you don't, you know, you could. Here's how I look at it. You can either go hang out at the morgue, or you can go hang out at the baby birthing center, right? One's the beginning of life and everybody's happy and there's a brand new baby and they're laughing and you know, it's the start of something beautiful. And the other is just the grim reality of the end of life and death, you know. And which person do you think is going to feel better in general, the person who goes and visits the morgue every day, or the person that's at, you know, the child birthing center?
Although there are those that argue, like for instance, the mystic Sadhguru, and he's not the first person to make this point, But he would talk about that you should remind yourself every day that you could die at any second. And
yeah, exactly.
And in doing that, that makes you appreciate the life while you have it, you know.
Yeah. That's 100% true. You don't, you know, the reaper's around the corner always.
Yeah.
Always watching, always lurking.
The reaper's traveling at full throttle. Remember that Ozzy song?
Yeah.
Now you live inside the bottle. The reaper's traveling at full throttle.
Yeah.
It's certainly been funny, hasn't it?
Yeah. 100% true.
Yeah.
Don't pay the ferryman.
Nope. Not till he takes you to the other side, right?
Yep. All kinds of scary things out there.
There are. Reminds me, I also watched the movie The Fall Guy.
I know, I tried to watch it, but they wanted money, so I said
I guess I won't talk about it too much in case we end up talking about it on the show. But I will say the Fall Guy was a goofy TV series from the 80s, probably.
I guess.
Starring Lee Majors from The Bionic Man. And he plays like a stuntman, but he also works as a bounty hunter, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then he has all these adventures. So there's now a big screen movie version of it called The Fall Guy. And so because I used to watch, Mitch and I used to watch that TV show, I watched it. So, and then I guess I'll just wait in case Mitch watches it and we can talk about it.
Yeah, I will. It'll come on. Or I'll go to the movies and see it. So, but I will see it. That's for sure.
The Fall Guy, dude, and Civil War.
God. I probably will not go see Civil War.
No, you know, it's kind of anemic too. Like that filmmaker Alex Garland, in my opinion, he's made one kind of good movie. And then the rest of them I thought were very like TV movie, sci-fi channel. Like they didn't feel like movies. It just felt like, you know, decent television. He made a movie called Ex Machina about like a sexy AI robot chick. And then he made a movie that that's the one I kind of liked called Annihilation. And it's based on a book. I guess it's a series of books, but basically like this energy starts rewriting the universe. It's like the act of creation over the created world. Like the world starts getting recreated. Like God's like, okay, well, we've done this for a while. Now I'm going to switch it up. So that premise though, I quite liked, but the movie itself was pretty derivative. But that idea of like God rewriting the universe, I thought was cool.
He hit the reset button.
Yeah, basically. And so it's like all these humans like, oh my God, you know, like, it's all being rewritten. And if we don't stop it, we're going to be written out, you know?
Oops.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun. But then, yeah, now he's done this thing and he's a globalist is what they call the people who are really running the world. So he's doing it because he works for them, which makes him a devil worshiper, pedophile, child killer. And this movie's to encourage civil war. So actually I was watching a movie review thing and they were talking about like, there's a big backlash against Alex Garland for directing this movie. Oh yeah, and as a movie, I thought it was kind of anemic, like it was sort of lifeless.
Now I'm not going to watch it at all.
Yeah, I don't think anybody needs to really. And then, now I've heard there's like a backlash against the director, and I'm hoping that's because it's the informed public saying, okay, screw you, like we are not having a civil war, you know, and screw you for being involved in this. And
you so know. I have a question for you. So if all these movies and stuff are predictive programming,
yeah,
then is Rise of the Planet of the Apes around the corner?
It might be.
So we'll all just accept the rise of the. We'll be like, oh, I saw that in a movie. I know this. Let's just become their slaves, and the apes can run it because we screwed it up so bad.
I think a lot of those movies, a lot of the movies Charlton Heston made, including Planet of the Apes, are warnings, though. Like, you know, the famous ending of the Planet of the Apes, he finds the Statue of Liberty.
Of Liberty, yeah, on the beach.
And he's like, you did it. You finally did it. And yeah, I think that that was a warning. I think Soylent Green, the movie that he made where it's like in the future and everything's overcrowded and the government's providing like a food supply. And then it turns out that the food supply is dead bodies.
Ew.
Did you ever see that movie?
Sounds vaguely familiar. I know there was a recent movie. Oh, it's there's a old TV series. I don't think it's on anymore, you know, any more new seasons, but a whole bunch of seasons of, I think it's called The Boat. And it's about this was all before COVID, but this virus comes and, you know, wipes out the world, and they're out in the Arctic. This boat's out in the Arctic trying to find a cure, and they come back with the cure, but, you know, basically society is all gone by then. And so they're trying to find a way to mass produce the serum and all that shit. But anyway, they find this functioning city and stuff, and you know, of course, they've got their own military, and you know, kids are in school, and they've got power and all that. And the way, what I was getting to is the way this thing has power is they have a radio broadcast saying, "Oh, come here, and we can cure you," and they actually make the people sicker, and so they'll die faster. And then they load all the dead bodies in the trucks, and that's how they power their. That's where they get the power to run their city.
Trippy, man.
Yep.
In Soylent Green, everyone's starving, and then they have to go wait in line for food. And then the government gives them what's supposed to be like a manufactured food product called Soylent Green. But then at the ending of the movie, the Charlton Heston discovers that they're turning dead people into Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. But yeah, I think those movies were warnings. There's a lot of Hollywood movies where if you look at them now, you're like, oh, they're totally warning us. But yeah. So what are you going to do with your big Sunday off?
I am going to sit and wonder.
Good. Good.
Yep. I am just going to hang out. I'm trying not to do anything. I'm sure there's something I need to do. Maybe I'll find the thing I need to do and do it. But, you know, I don't really have the stresses of the workplace to worry about. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm pretty blessed.
Excellent, man. So this whole move was the right thing to do.
Well, in a lot of ways, I guess for me personally, maybe not for the family financially, but we'll figure it out.
Cool, man.
Yeah. So you're going to go hang with the G-man?
Yeah, I'm looking at this weather, though, and my plans are getting screwed, though, because it looks like it's cold out there. But
oh, it's nice here today.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's kind of cold and windy here.
Oh, not here. It done passed us by. That was yesterday.
That's good. Are you gonna? So, are you gonna watch like a movie today or something?
I'll watch a baseball game, I think.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh, and then I need to make a correction. So, I'd like to apologize to my wife. So, last episode, when we were talking about good things that came from technology, remember that?
Yeah.
So I failed to mention that my marriage to my fantastic and magical and beautiful and awesomest wife ever came from the internet.
Ah, see?
So I wasn't thinking clearly. It was Mike's fault because I don't want to take responsibility for my actions. So it's all Mike's fault.
Mitch is looking at the man in the mirror.
So another good thing that came out of technology was love at AOL.com. The whole, you got mail.
Yeah.
So way back in the early 90s. Or mid-90s. Yeah, I guess mid... Whenever that came out, I don't know. It was in the 90s. Late 90s. I don't remember. But we met online, you know, over 20 years ago. Well, actually, further than that. 22 years ago, at least.
Amazing.
Yeah. So...
You've had a long and successful marriage.
Yeah. All because of her, though. I'm just along for the ride. She's guiding the boat.
Not today, you're not.
No, thank God. She has mercy on my soul, and I don't have to go.
Now you can just kick back and watch baseball.
Yeah. I can kick back and just wonder.
Just so. Sit and wonder. That's what Mitch used to always say. Like, I'd be like, what are you doing? And he'd be like, I'm just sitting and wondering.
Yep.
Everywhere, all over the place. All of a sudden, Mitch would have a thoughtful expression on his face. And it's like, what are you doing, dude? Just sitting and wondering, man.
Yeah, a lot of things run through my head.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure the same for you. It's just whatever we choose to focus on. So
there's a bit of a battle in the mind, though. Like I would choose not to focus on any of the bad news, and in fact, that might be. I mean, that is advice from a lot of spiritual masters. But my mind just bombards me, like, and it's everyone though. I mean, this turns into a thing like on some spiritual paths where you're literally trying to stop thinking, but you can't stop your mind from thinking. And then it becomes like, how do I deal with these thoughts then? If I can't stop them. But yeah, I don't choose to focus on any of this. It's just the news is so gloomy that my mind has been using it for like ammunition for quite a while now.
Yeah. Well, stop watching the news.
I did taper back a lot. And, but it's funny, you were talking about how TV, and this is how it works for everybody though, is a distraction from your thoughts. And so like you watch a lot of TV so you don't get sucked into all of your thoughts. And so I switched off Alex Jones and then I turned on Civil War and I'm like, what are you doing? You know, this is like watching Alex Jones. And I literally heard a voice in myself say, yeah, but if you turn this off, you're going to start thinking. You don't want to do that. You don't want to think about what's going on. Keep the movie rolling, you know? The end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Two Men with a Mic is recorded at Clothes on a Hanger Studios.
You can reach him at the number 2menwithamic.com.